Song of Solomon 4. I'd like to look at a few verses beginning in verse 12. This morning I was talking to my daughter who attends where Brother Paul Mahan pastors. And we were talking about a message that he brought last Lord's Day on the people that were on this earth. And how many billions there could have been on the earth at that time. And out of all the people that were on the earth, there is recorded in scriptures that 8 souls were saved. 8. I want you to just stop for a moment and think how blessed you are if Almighty God has been pleased to reveal Himself to you. There's no difference in you and anybody else. It is the grace of God Almighty that has been bestowed upon any that believe. Song of Solomon chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. Is where we're going to be reading. And the passage tonight describes the bride as the personal property of the Lord Jesus Christ. She belongs to Him. Bought with the price of His precious blood. She is the gift of the Father to the Son, given to Him, betrothed eternally, eternally betrothed to the Lord Jesus Christ, chosen in Him from the foundation of the world, or before the foundation of the world. He has always been her surety. Always been her surety. We read last Lord's Day that we were not appointed to wrath, but to salvation. He has always stood as the surety of the sheep. And this evening, we want to begin looking at some particulars, things that describe her. And the amazing thing, and I do pray tonight that the Lord bless this message. Number one, to me, to my understanding, that I say those things that are honoring to Him. I ask for His direction, guidance, to not say anything that would be dishonoring to Him or a discouragement to you, but to say those things that the Scripture sets forth. But in the description that's set forth of the bride, there are certain things that are said of her that can only be said of her as being found in Him. Never of her of herself, but only as she is being found in the person of her husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are 4 particular descriptions given of her which manifest the Lord's glory and her blessing. And Lord willing, I'd like to look at 3 of them tonight and the Lord wills, the other part next Wednesday. Number one, a description of her is found in verse 12, and she is said to be a garden enclosed. Is my sister, my spouse. A garden is an area whose ground has been prepared, made good to receive the seed of the Word. That seed that the sower sows, that Word of the living God, whereby fruit, some 30 and some 60 and some 100. I've got some thoughts on that. I won't go into the depth of it right now, but I will say just this much about that some 30, some 60, some 100. I know that Almighty God has revealed in His Word that fruit is produced, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. And that fruit which is produced is the fruit of Almighty God. It's good fruit. And only God is good. So therefore, it is the fruit of the Spirit of Almighty God that is produced. We don't produce anything. As He said, without me, you can do nothing. But some 30, some 60, some 100. And I know in our little fickle minds, we see that, and it appears as though that He's saying, these things are, you know, mightier and mightier and mightier beheld, that is, in me. I'm a 30-fold producer. Or I'm a 60-fold producer. Or I'm a 100-fold producer. These are only seen by Almighty God. These fruits that are produced by God Himself, some 30, some 60, some 100. Now, no man can set forth exactly what that means because we don't have the capability of setting a standard on what that is. But I will tell you this, unto whom much is given, much is required. I know that. I know that Paul, the apostle, said, this one that was caught up into the third heaven, this man was a man that saw things and heard things that were unspeakable. Either couldn't say them or didn't know how to say them. Just unspeakable things. Here was a man that was used by God Almighty to pen, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, to pen the majority of the New Testament. That man right there. And that man, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, said, I'm the chief of sinners. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I can tell you this. Whatever the groundwork is, whatever is being set forth in some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, I can tell you this, it comes with a high cost. And there is a price that is paid by that believer. But God is sufficient. That's what He told Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient. Those men, those women that God Almighty has used through the Scriptures, you look at them, men and women, the Rahabs, the Pauls, the Jacobs, and you look at them. These many times we look in Hebrews chapter 11, roll call of faith, honor roll of faith, or whatever, that terminology. You know what I'm talking about. But I want you to look and see how they appeared to themselves in their own eyes and the struggles that they went through and the suffering, the trials, and the tribulation. And the Scripture says that these men, women suffered. This world wasn't even worthy of them. Sawn asunder. Crucified upside down. Boiled in oil. This garden that the Lord is setting forth is a garden that is enclosed. A garden is for fruit, for pleasure. My dad, I can remember when I was growing up, he loved a garden. He used to tell me, he said, I just love to watch it grow. He said, I love the smell of dirt. You know what? I do too. It worked the dirt. You know what it smells like? It smells good. I like to smell dirt. This bride, this garden enclosed, it said of her, I've loved you, Jeremiah 31:3. I've loved you with an everlasting love. With loving kindness, I've drawn you. My dad would say, I love to see things grow. Almighty God is pleased. He said, I've loved you everlastingly. Care for this garden is taken for that garden's good. And everything that that garden needs, the gardener supplies. That garden does not provide its own fertilizer, doesn't remove its own weeds, doesn't water itself, doesn't prune itself, doesn't stake itself, doesn't harvest itself. It's a garden. Its preservation is for the owner's exclusive enjoyment. What do we think of a man that laid a bunch of seed and a couple of sacks of fertilizer, you know, at the end of the garden right there and just left her, never turned it? Didn't do anything to it. Just a piece of ground out there. Just grass, all it is. Just piled up some seed and piled up some fertilizer and put 14 buckets of water out there and said, now, exercise your own free will. Let's see what you can do. I'll be back. Just offered it. No, this is an enclosed garden. Enclosed, separated by distinguishing grace, electing grace, set apart by God Almighty's choice. Psalm 4:3 says, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. Not that God looked and found one godly and then set him apart. No, if a man be found godly, that is, with the presence of God, know this, God set him apart. Hedged him about. That's the reason Satan couldn't get to Job. He said, you've hedged him about. I can't get to him. You considered my servant Job? Oh yeah, but what can I do? You've got him enclosed. Zechariah 2:5 says, for I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. God Almighty is the fence of the bride's borders. She's a garden enclosed. He is her protection, and nothing happens to her without His permission. Nothing. I was thinking a moment ago when Brother Scott was reading that about how we vacillate back and forth. I was thinking about that scripture I just quoted when Paul said, and we looked at it last Sunday, when Paul said, I see you. In my mind I serve the law of God. In my flesh, though, with the law of sin, I see two natures in me. And they strive one against the other, fighting one against the other. And we're constantly doing that. Constantly doing it. Let me give you an example. We'll stand right here and we'll say, I believe that God Almighty is sovereign. You believe that? You believe that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I believe that. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. I believe that. I believe that. Do you hear that clatter in my car? $800
What?
You know what I just did? I just disputed the providence of Almighty God. Just falls right again. In my mind, I just thought, how can that be happening to me? I just got that car fixed. And now something else. Oh, if it were not for His protecting grace and mercy that keeps us a garden enclosed, hedged about, nothing happens to her without His permission. I need to be reminded of that often. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And who is this garden? He said, you're my sister, my spouse. We looked at that last time. Her sister, His sister, by incarnation. He said, I'm your brother, your elder brother, your friend. His sister, by obedience, made obedient by the imparting of a new nature that loves Him. And spouse, by electing grace. She is number one. She's a garden enclosed, hedged about. Not just anybody can come into this garden, infringe in this garden. This is a closed up garden. Private property. No trespassing. No trespassing. Does that mean that what we're saying is that nobody's welcome? No. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him take of the water of life freely. But no entrance is made here by man's free will, by man's choice, by man's works, works of the law. She's an enclosed garden, hemmed up, closed up by God Himself. Secondly, in verse 12, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed, a spring that's barred, guarded, protection over, under lock and key. That word shut up there, a spring shut up, same word as enclosed. Shut up. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up. But there's a particular word that is set forth in those words right there, enclosed and shut up. And that those two words also mean shod. S-H-O-D. Shod. And he gives an example in Strong's Concordance, and it says, with slippers. She is a garden enclosed. Shut up. Closed up. Shod. Furnished. Like when the prodigal son came back, came to himself. Spent all of his money on righteous living. Rehearsed his story. Came to his father. I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to tell him. I've sinned before you and against heaven. And not worthy to be called your son anymore. And the father saw him a long way off. Ran. Fell on his neck. And kissed him. The boy began to rehearse his story. And he said, bring the best robe. Bring the shoes and put some shoes on this boy's feet. We're shod, the Scripture says, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. Look at this Scripture. 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 15. Now that word enclosed and that word shut up is the same word, same exact word, and it's found right here in verse 14. And the men which were expressed by name rose up and took the captives and with the spoil clothed all that were naked among them and arrayed them and shod them. See that word shod right there? That's the same word as enclosed. And gave them to eat and to drink and anointed them and carried all the feeble of them unto asses and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brethren. Then they returned to Samaria. I'm going to tell you something. The gospel is there. I mean, that's you can preach the message right out of that verse right there. But that word shod, who is my spouse, my sister? She's an enclosed garden. Shut up fountain. Shod. The bride is a spring. Ever flowing. A spring shut up. Fountain sealed. Ever flowing from the source of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is her delight. Spring of water. It comes from a greater source than itself. Secret. Just watching, just looking. I'll be driving down the road. You've seen this. Just driving down the road, the interstate. And all of a sudden, there's just water just coming out of the rocks. Coming out. Where does it come from? Somewhere else. I don't know. Sometimes it's just hundreds and hundreds of miles before it comes out. But she's a... Scripture says is a spring that's shut up, sealed. No one enjoys her but the Lord Jesus Christ. She's not of this world, though she's in the world. She doesn't think like the world. She's not of this world. Doesn't think like the world thinks concerning salvation, God's providence, God's glory. She's in this world, but she's not of this world. And sealed for the exclusive use of the Lord Himself. Out of her belly, the Scripture says, flows rivers of living water. And then thirdly, in verse 13 and 14, she is described here as an orchard of fruit trees and spices. Verse 13 says, thy plants, that is, the branches, is what that word is interpreted. Thy plants, the branch. We're the branch, He's the vine. Or an orchard, a park, or a forest with pleasant fruits. Pleasant fruits. That is, distinguished and valuable fruits. Are rewards, precious things. Deuteronomy 33. Turn with me there. Deuteronomy 33. Precious things. She is, the Scripture says, pleasant fruits, precious things. Deuteronomy 33, verse 13. And of Joseph, he said, blessed of the Lord be His land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth, and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush. Let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, on the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. This is who we are. This is who he says we are. And that by his grace, and his choice, and his goodness, and his grace, we are plants. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. The fruit, that is, of the Spirit, produced within that believer, are precious things. And how precious they are, I'll be the first to admit, I don't know. But I will tell you this, they are precious unto you that believe He is precious. And unto Him, He says that we're precious in His sight. The Lord's garden is an orchard, he said, of pomegranates. I started reading this a day or so ago, and as I began to read, I began to make the mistake of just reading over those fruits real quickly. And I'd read them. They're pomegranates with pleasant fruits and campfire and spikenard. Spikenard and saffron and calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense and myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. Well, I'll tell you, after reading over those things a couple of times, I began to realize as I went back and started looking at what was being set forth and described, I was missing a real blessing. And so I began to look at those fruits and those spices that were set forth by the Lord here in this particular chapter. We'll just look at a few of them, and then in time will be up and we'll just stop for the evening. But I don't want to rush it. I want to tell you as much as I understand about what's set forth, because there's some precious truths here. He said, first of all, he says, thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates. Now, the pomegranate is that fruit that, when laid open, reveals individual seeds. You know what a pomegranate is. It's got a fleshy meatiness around every seed. Rich, juicy fruit. And every seed tightly bound together and protected by that outer skin. We are in Christ. We're one with Him. He is our enclosure. She's an enclosed garden, and that skin of that pomegranate is a picture of Christ Himself. And we in Him. He is the fire. He is our hedge. So we are, first of all, an orchard of pomegranates. And then secondly, with these pleasant fruits, this word here, campfire. Well, in your margin, you may see the word cypress, but it's not, as I think of cypress, I'm from South Louisiana, and when I think of cypress, I think of a water cypress, and I think of something with cypress knees coming up. But this word here, campfire, I believe I'm pronouncing it right, camphor, is a substance from the laurel tree which is used to make mothballs with. Mothballs. Camphor. It's a substance from this tree. Keeps pests away. It's what it does. Now Isaiah, turn with me. Isaiah 50 verse 9. Camphor. That's what it is. It's a fragrance. Isaiah 50. Verse 9. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. This word, camphor, is made from that tree, that laurel tree. But the word camphor, in its description, this is the word, and it's described, and this is the meaning. A covered village, camphor, this is what it means, a covered village, redemption, ransom, satisfaction. His garden is described as enclosed and shut up and sealed by the Holy Ghost. Atoned for, redeemed by His blood, ransomed from the penalty of the law, and satisfaction has been made for her. She is camphor, protected from the moths of sin that would devour her. Camphor, that's who she is. Pleasant fruits, camphor. And then she's with spikenard. Spikenard. I looked up that word spikenard, and I found that spikenard is made from a spike. The plant is called a spike. And it is a single-stemmed plant that has little flowers that come off of it. It's a long, flowery cluster with the flowers attached directly to the stalk. Nard is an ointment made from the roots of this spike plant. Now we are the branch. We are the branches. We're the flowers attached to Him. And this fragrant ointment produced from crushing the root makes what's called nard. That nard, and that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the root out of dry ground, and the crushing of Him was to the satisfaction of Almighty God in the redemption of His people. This is the sweet savor of His obedience to the law, His obedience to God's justice, to God's wrath. He endured the wrath of God for us. Spikenard. This was the ointment poured upon the Lord Jesus Christ by the woman with the alabaster box who broke the vessel and anointed the Lord Jesus Christ. His anointing, the Scripture says, was to preach good tidings unto the meek and to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives. Now we have the savor of that anointing mentioned when we see that we are set forth as being camphor with spikenard. He is the vine, we're the branch. The nard, the root, crushes it. And that ointment is called spikenard. Spikenard. And let's look at one other part right here. I'm going to look in verse 14, and Lord willing, then afterwards we'll stop for the evening. And then it says in verse... Now, it just said in verse 13, it's camphor with spikenard. And then it says in verse 14, spikenard and saffron. Now, it mentions spikenard again. But it's not exactly the same. It's saying now, spikenard and saffron. Putting them together. Now, saffron, I found out, was a plant, purple, little purple flowery plant, and it's used for seasoning. Seasoning. Matthew 5:13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men." Leviticus 2:13 sets forth that the Lord Jesus Christ is the salt of the covenant. He is the salt of the covenant. Therefore, if the Scripture, and it does, set forth that we are, that is, believers, are the salt of the earth, where then do we get our savor? You think it emanates from us? We're the preservation. Salt is a preservative. We're the salt of the earth. You think we're preserving this thing? If we are referred to as being salt, we are spikenard and saffron together, it says in verse 14. Therefore, our being found in Him and having Himself within, we are described as the salt of the earth. Believers in this world, considered in their Redeemer, and in their surety is that which keeps this world at this moment from a state of putrefaction. That is a rotting. That's what it means, a rotting. Not because of our ability to keep it, not of our ability to maintain it, are we the salt of the earth, but it is by God's pleasure to order all things for His glory and for the elect's sake. Ye are the salt of the earth, the preserving, the savor of life in this earth. But we are saffron because we are connected with spikenard. He's the branch. He's the vine. We're the branch. The root that's crushed to produce that ointment, that savory ointment. That's the savor of life to us because of His sufferings. You're the salt of the earth because we're connected with Him. He's the salt of the covenant. Well, I'm going to stop right there. The calamus and the cinnamon and all the trees of frankincense and myrrh and aloes and the chief spices and the fountain, Lord willing, we'll go from here into those scriptures next evening. Okay, Gary, why don't you come lead us in a song?